Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. You are live on the Tex and Rex Show. Irreverent, relevant, and radioactive conservatism with a bite. I'm Rex, broadcasting you to you from an undisclosed location somewhere in Virginia with the Matrix drones trying to shut this show down, but I'm still here.
This is Tex. I'm back broadcasting high above Houston in the Crystal Cathedral after my little underwater adventure there. So I'm back, and I'm glad I hung my groceries because, you know, I was talking about all the smudges here. These are bear paws, man. They're all over the place. So I got my groceries hanging in the kitchen. So thank God. I got to figure out where these things are coming from. Anyway, so what's going on, Tex, Rex? Whatever
well,
your name is.
As usual, what we're talking about is an RNC brokered convention, or by its more proper term, RNC open convention, because all conventions are technically open, although sometimes someone might sail in there as the presumptive nominee with an overwhelming majority of the votes, and so it's a foregone conclusion that he'll win. This year, and 2 weeks from now, that is absolutely not the case. If you're still watching the Idiot Box for information and news, let me inform you, this is not going smoothly nor well for the Mitt Romney campaign. Mitt Romney does not have the requisite votes to be the nominee. There will be a floor fight, and they are so desperate now, they're pulling out all the stuff. Lots of stuff going on this week. We've got 2 weeks till the convention. And before we get into some of the things you got there, Tex, I'd like to hear what you have to say about the situation in Maine. Now, Maine has never really been a major player in presidential electoral politics. It's not a very populous state.
About 1830, I would think. Anyway,
yeah, exactly.
If even back then.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking about 21 delegates from Maine. So if you are the presumptive nominee who needs 1144 of the 2,400 or 23 and change delegates, then why are you worried about 21 delegates from Maine? It's kind of a moot point, really. But what's going on up there right now is that the RNC is trying to make a deal, or was trying to create a compromise situation with most of the delegates, I think all but one, really, in Maine. Now, that sounds kind of odd. Why is the Republican National Committee trying to negotiate with 21 delegates from a small state that usually doesn't have much of a play in electoral politics? Well, it's because as the debates were going on and people were going to vote in the primaries and they were watching Fox News and CNN, there was someone who's real smart, who knows this real well, who was out there telling us that it's not really about the primaries. It's about the delegates. It's
yeah.
always been about the delegates. And the game on the ground was that Ron Paul picked up most of the delegates in Maine. So here we've got several people who are going down to Tampa to cast their ballot for a man in whom they believe, because of his strict adherence to the Constitution, his 40-some-year crusade for constitutional government, sound money, and the end of the Keynesian corporatist control of this country. And so they're very excited, and they're going to do it. And here comes Mitt Romney and Rince Pubis coming after them. Hey, you guys have to vote for Mitt Romney. And they're saying no. So it was getting fairly desperate for the Romney campaign because they're realizing, oh, crap, we don't have the votes. We've been telling people that you're the presumptive nominee for the last 4.5 years, and they believe it. And now it looks as if that's not going to happen. So we got a serious problem.
Well,
we got to get these 21 delegates.
Yeah, exactly. Well, one of the things is, and is Rince Pubis, is he one of the tunas, do you know? Is he one of the tunas, that guy?
I don't know if he's a tuna, but he's definitely a dead fish.
Okay, good. All right. Yeah, well. Anyway, so, yeah, what's going on down there is they, you know, because Romney, he's got to win everything. You know, his whole narrative has to be Romney wins everything all the time because
the reality is Romney loses all the time, and everybody knows that Romney loses his election. He's good at it. You know, if you have a core competency, you stick with that core competency, and this guy is awesome, awesome at losing elections. So they started looking at Maine. They're like, oh, my God, we're going to lose this one. And Romney was like, ah, typical. And they're like, no, no, we can't allow you to lose it. He's like, what, huh? And they're like, no, we're trying to win this time. He's like, okay. Well, gosh, we got to win that one. So they're like, what do we do? And they're like, oh, don't worry about it. We got a whole bunch of shady types down there. We're just going to steal the election from these Paul guys, you know. Because they're like, Republicans are enthusiastic and want to vote, and that's going to be terrible for us come November when we're trying to lose this thing. And Romney's like, oh, yeah, I see, that's right. You know, because then they'd be interested in acting, and they'd probably come out and vote for me. We can't have that. And I'm like, no way, that's terrible for it. How's the Democratic Party going to win if we got a bunch of Republicans showing up voting? He's like, yeah, let's shut that thing down. So they went and they shut it down. They did the thing with Waldo County. Long story short, they declared a, quote, snow day, and said that you can't vote today. Your vote is not until next week, right? Even though there's only like a half an inch, quarter inch of snow, which is nothing in Maine. And then the chairman of the Republican Party in Maine declared that if you didn't vote on this day, your votes don't count. And so all the Paul districts had snow days and all the Romney districts didn't. And then Romney's like, hey, wow, I won that thing. Okay, let's move on. Well, you can do that on election day, and if you got the media going along with you, that's fine. But at the end of the day, you got a bunch of really irritated people there who also happen to be voters. And what's happened is the Paul people have really rallied, and they went to the convention, and they got basically all the delegates. So the Romney people are like, well, it doesn't matter. We'll just disqualify all those guys, and we'll just replace them with Romney people, right? And screw those Paul guys. It turns out you don't need Paul guys. You don't actually need voters this election year. It's a whole new thing with elections. Just forget the voters. They don't matter anymore. Those Paul guys are really irritated, so they started, you know, letter-writing campaigns, phone-writing campaigns to the person who runs the Maine Republican Party and various party officials and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, for those of you who haven't been up there, you know, if you go up to, various places along the coast of Maine, it seems pretty densely populated, but you go on that other highway on the interior, there is nothing in Maine, okay? So it's a pretty freaking small community. And so now the there's a person up there who's a Romney supporter who's like, well, look, I support Romney, but I don't support what they're doing here. You know why? Because that person probably wants to have a future in Republican Party politics. It's like, oh my God, you know, like, they've really kicked the anthill here, and they can't, you know, do anything. So they're really pressing the RNC and the Romney campaign to seat these delegates and everything. But that's what these Romney dudes are doing all across the country. Wherever there's someone they're not 100% sure of that they're going to vote Romney, they're going to try to disqualify you. So you're going to have a massive credentials fight at the Tampa convention, you know. And a lot of these credentials fights and everything and the rules changes and all that stuff, they happen before the convention. So, you know, you delegates and everything, don't just show up on convention day because they will have already decided a whole bunch of junk for you. You know, really go check that schedule, figure out when the rules committee is meeting, figure out when the credentials committee is meeting, and go there. Because as a delegate, you're entitled to go to all of these meetings and to stand up and have your say, review your Robert's Rules of Order. It's really not complicated. If you happen to be the chairman, it's a bit more complicated because you have to, you know, keep the time and know how many amendments to the amendments deep you are in, right? But it's really easy once you see it happen, and, you know, just don't be nervous. And if you screw up, well, at least our state Republican chairman here, Steve Munastiri, he's really good about, you know, saying, well, I think what you meant to say was this, and then you just say that. And he's like, okay, yeah, so, but of course, if they're jerks about it, you know, then just have your friend come in and say the right thing.
Yeah, well, so you bring up a really important point. These delegates have to know what they're doing because they're about to walk into the pit of fire. And that's exactly what happened with these 21 delegates up in Maine. And actually, it was interesting because I think from what I understood, and correct me if I'm wrong, but the RNC basically, or the chairman up there basically told them, here's the deal. If Mitt Romney, if Ron Paul looks like he has 11, you know, enough delegates to win, then you can vote for him. But if he doesn't look like he's going to win, then you have to vote for Romney, and here's a piece of paper where you're going to sign that that's the case. Well, those guys told him, screw you. I mean, the fact is that they know that Ron Paul doesn't have enough delegates to win, so that was basically a little trap to get them to just vote for Romney. But the real question is, hey, Mitt Romney might have potentially, we really don't know, but potentially more delegates than Paul to almost get this nomination, but clearly he needs at least these 21 guys for Maine, so he's falling short, and the best thing these guys can do is not vote for him so that he fails. You know, so I think what you bring up is a great point, that this isn't about our vote, because we're not voting till November. This is about the delegates, and the delegates have to not only know what they're doing, but they have to be prepared to walk into the pit of fire, because they're going to be up against a well-oiled, well-trained, entrenched superstructure that's been taking over the party for a long, long time. But
Well, you know, you Maine guys, you know all about that Belichick buzzsaw. I had a friend up in Maine who wouldn't shut up about the thing. But that Belichick buzzsaw, well, you're about to walk into that Mitt Romney buzzsaw. The thing is, those blades are really dull. But, you know, all you need to do is about, like, 4 hours of homework on Robert's Rules of Order, and then pretty much you can run the floor. And there is actually a YouTube about Robert's Rules of Order that was recorded by the Alaska Republican Party, and they had the head of the RNC Rules Committee come down and explain the rules and how they work and all this kind of stuff. And I put that onto an audio CD in my car, and I listened to it on my way up to my state convention, you know, maybe twice I listened to that thing. Went back for the good parts, you know, made sure I had it, and it's really all you need. It's not that complicated. The first time you get up and do it, you know, it seems complicated. It's like your first time up at bat. You don't know what you're doing, but once you hit that first one, you know, the rest of it's easy.
Yeah, and the thing is that they need to brush up on what they're doing. More than anything, what they need is to bring that fire in the belly and that passion, and that's what this grassroots movement has been all about. And we've got somebody who has just been extremely outspoken. He has never shut up. And he's been taking flack just like you and I. And just to let everybody know, they are trying to bring us down. They're causing technical problems. They're coming after our capability to get the word out to you. And this man, who's been a staunch defender of Newt Gingrich, has been taking flack also, especially because of this unity movement of other candidates who are not Romney. Well, that's what they're afraid of the most, because if we band together, we're 70% of the GOP. We win. They need to keep us separated. That man who's been out there unwaveringly holding a flag for Newt Gingrich is Sam Sanford. Sam, you're on the line.
Hey, Rex and Tex. I just had a little... I was on a Ron Paul radio show about an hour ago. And they were interviewing the lawyer,
Richard Gilbert,
as the lawsuit going. And they had a very good day in California on Monday. And the judge agreed with them that the RNC is breaking their own rules. And the RNC actually admitted in court that... I've got his name. What's that lawyer's name?
Richard Gilbert.
Yeah, and he will probably be on my show tonight.
Oh, fantastic.
I got to speak with him. And the only thing is so disheartening are these diehard Ron Paul supporters that were in the chat. Kim was there on the show, too, in the chat. I mean, these people were nasty towards Newt Gingrich in the chat. I mean, these Ron Paul people. And they do not do their movement any good by being nasty. When I'm sitting here saying, I'm supporting what you're doing, and if I have to vote for Ron Paul, I will vote for Ron Paul.
Yeah.
Well, Sammy, let's keep in mind that not all of these guys are Paul guys.
Yeah, some of those guys are Acorn dudes. Some of those guys are Romney dudes. Because they got to keep this separated. Now, there are some legitimate Paul people, because I know I've been in the Paul chats and the video chats, and those dudes, they kind of remember me, you know. So when I show up, they start shouting obscenities at me. But the ones who don't like me, the other ones, you know, I have a private chat with them, and we have a lot of fun.
Yeah,
but,
the girl that was running the show, her name is, I forgot her name. Kim can probably type it into the chat. And you can see it on my Sam W. Sanford page. I posted the link for the show. I actually gave her some advertisement on Twitter and on my own, on one of my pages.
Is this the Ron Paul girl? Is that her?
Ron Paul girl.
Show?
Yeah.
Okay. Excellent.
And I mean, I actually gave her advertisement. I told her she was welcome to call into my show.
Sure.
Yeah.
And we've had that. What's that one delegate's name from Texas that's Ron Paul has called into the show a few times? I forgot his name.
The Ken?
Oh.
It might be Ken. Yeah, Ken.
I think it is Ken.
Ken has been very gracious on our show.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And, Sammy, let me apologize for yesterday. Like I said, we ran into some technical glitches because some people don't care for us to be speaking. So I'm afraid that I wasn't able to get on your show yesterday. Barely got things up and running today for this broadcast, and I'm hoping we can make it the full 2 hours. But things are put together with toothpicks and bubble gum. It's a kind of a MacGyver event today. But the fact is they're trying to shut us up from both sides, the Mitt Romney side and genuine people who are conservative and genuine people who are libertarian who don't like Romney are also assisting in this separation by entrenching as if we're in a primary battle for the nominee. We're not in a primary battle for the nominee. We are in a battle against a liberal Democrat usurper. And it is about working together. And I think that's the message that is creating fear in the enemy. Because if they can keep Ron Paul supporters and Gingrich supporters and possibly some Santorum, Herman Cain, Rick Perry, Michelle Bachmann, Sarah Palin, whatever, true conservatives and libertarians, if they can keep us at each other's throat fighting over the personality whom we support, as opposed to realizing that this is a battle for the heart and soul of the Republican Party.
Amen.
And then we're likely to lose. Now, granted, it's just up to the delegates. But the delegates are going to are empowered to represent their constituencies. We're the constituency. If we're not making a loud enough voice that we want someone other than Romney, those delegates are going to possibly cave, especially the ones who may not know what they're doing or is their first time up there or their party people who have positions to worry about. They don't feel that there's enough of a movement, so they go ahead and vote Romney. We're winning right now, and we've got 2 weeks.
Absolutely, Rex. And listen, the other thing is, you know, in terms of total votes at the primary, in some cases they won. In other cases it actually was stolen because they rigged the vote, you know. They've run off with ballot boxes and stuff like that for Romney. But a lot of people, they just listen to what the media says, and they're like, well, we have to beat Obama, so I have to vote for the winner and show solidarity for the winner. Well, the winner's not a winner if he doesn't believe what you believe, and if what he believes is so close to Barack Obama, you can't actually tell the difference between them on positions. But there are a bunch of people who will go in and just say, I hate this, but I'm going to do it anyway because I'm so terrified of Obama. But the thing is, people like, you know, you and I and Sammy and others and Robert and all, you know, Mark, all these other people who are doing this stuff is that we're involved, so we're the party activists, we're the grassroots. And so in the mind of these party people, they're like, these guys are, like, serious, you know, and gals are serious, and they're paying attention like they've never paid attention before. And if I get sideways of them, you know, they have big voices. People listen to them, you know. They're opinion makers in the grassroots movement, and I cannot afford an election to have these guys go against us, you know. So make your voices heard, and make it heard to the delegates, too.
I mean, the thing that scares me, though, is some of these people, and as I guess that was either you or Dan or Rex that had mentioned that some of these people are Romney supporters out there trying to cause problems, and some of them are Barack Obama supporters.
Yep.
But we have to bring ourselves together. We cannot be divided. We have to be united. And as the old saying goes, united we stand, divided we fall.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the thing with the Paul guys, you know, need to understand, and even the new people need to understand. You know, we've been talking about this on your show for months now, Sammy, is that, you know, just because we're working with Ron Paul delegates so that they can vote for their guy, so that we can, you know, free up a bunch of, quote, fake bound delegates who aren't really bound in a legal sense, so that Gingrich can have a shot so we can get an open convention, we're not asking anyone, you know, that they have to support a guy that they don't like. This is a strategic alliance between the two campaigns in order to get an open convention so the delegates can decide, you know, who is actually the best person to run and what is the ticket that's most likely to succeed. So, you know, there's no need for this mudslinging. Well, my guy's better than your guy. Okay, well, are you a delegate? Then if not, it doesn't matter what you think at this point. It only matters what the delegate says.
And, I mean, I just... Folks, we cannot, I mean, I'm not attacking Ron Paul. I'm not attacking Rick Santorum. I mean, yes, I do have issues with Rick Santorum. I have issues with Ron Paul. But my greater issue is with Mitt Romney.
That's right.
And
yeah,
I'm willing to put my differences aside to be united to defeat Mitt Romney in Tampa, and we will take the best candidate. Whoever, I mean, definitely I want Newt Gingrich as my president, 100%.
Yep.
But if by chance he's not, I would rather have anybody other than Mitt Romney.
Absolutely.
Well, Sammy, let me put you this way, okay? I've been a Newt guy from as soon as I heard, even before. You know, even before they were announcing who the candidates were, I was like, man, I hope Newt runs because he's the guy, okay? But some other people weren't right on board with the Newt train from the beginning. I'm not holding anything against them. If I'm not mistaken, and you said this before on your show, Sammy, Newt wasn't your first choice, am I right?
No, Herman Cain was.
Herman Cain was your first choice. Now, should I start yelling at you for not having supported Newt Gingrich from the beginning because you were wasting your time supporting Herman Cain? That's ridiculous.
No, it is completely ridiculous.
You know, the fact is that you support the best guy that you think is the best guy. That's your right as an American. And you change as the lay of the land changes.
And
I was the dog before he came to class.
Yeah, the landscape changed, and Herman Cain completely suspended his candidacy, and he jumped in behind Newt Gingrich.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, since I'm a Georgia boy, I never once attacked Newt Gingrich while I was supporting Herman Cain because I had no issues with Newt Gingrich that would ever keep me from voting for him or supporting him.
There you go.
Absolutely.
There you go. So again, what we do is you look at the candidates that you have to choose from. You see how they line up with your principles and your values. You're not going to find one that's perfect, because I could rattle off 10 things right now that Newt Gingrich has done that I just completely disagree with. Am I going to throw him under the bus because I don't agree with him on 10 things when the country's falling apart and I know he's the guy who can put it back together? Hell no.
Amen.
Okay? So don't look for a perfect candidate. So, you know, but it's where are you willing to swallow a little bit of a difference? Maybe his foreign policy is a little too hawkish. Okay, that's not necessarily a good thing, but let's keep in mind we've got a Congress and a Senate, so the president doesn't, by fiat, form foreign policy. Maybe Ron Paul's policy is a little too dovish. It doesn't matter, again, because situations are going to call for action, and he's not going to sit there and twiddle his thumbs in the White House. So there are certain nuances where we can say, okay, you know what, it's not exactly like I like, but then look at what your other option is. The first thing to keep in mind is that the guy that is allegedly the presumptive nominee is going to lose. So when you look up at Romney, just think, well, if I support this loser, I'm supporting Barack Obama, okay? If you're going to support Barack Obama, then support Barack Obama. Don't support Mitt Romney and think that you're not supporting Barack Obama, because you are, okay?
Yeah.
That simple. So look at the other guys and you say, you know, if even in the off chance that Mitt Romney wins, really think that guy is going to do anything Republican? Here's the one I'll throw to both of you, and I want both of you to chime in. This is the one that I hear all the time. Well, I agree with you, okay, Rex. You're right. You know, he's kind of a tepid moderate. I don't really like him. He wasn't my first choice, but we got to unite behind him now because he's the guy. And for me, the most important thing is, hey, you know, he's going to nominate conservative judges to the Supreme Court. Is that a reason for me to give up all my values?
No, it's not.
Guy?
No.
And is he going to be nominating conservative judges to the Supreme Court? I don't know, because he's a self-proclaimed progressive that wants to get away from Reagan Bush and doesn't like signing a contract and voting Paul Song is. And I don't know how conservative a judge you think you're going to get out of this guy, you know? What was he doing in Massachusetts? You know, was he putting in Antonin Scalia's on the court? You know, I don't think so. You know, the Massachusetts Supreme Court, I don't think any of that was going on.
No. No, you're absolutely right. The Massachusetts judges that he appointed were not conservatives.
Well, and as Robert says on his show, talking about every time we stick a moderate, quote-unquote, a moderate, one that says he's extremely conservative, and you know he's not extremely conservative. You know he is a liberal. And every time we put a moderate in there, we lose.
Yeah. Well, and you know he was lying then because he didn't know what the word was, right? He's like, I'm the conservative. And the interesting thing about that comment, he says, I'm running as a conservative. I'm extremely conservative. He didn't say, I'm a conservative. He says, I'm running as a conservative. He's like, check this watch. Like, what year is it? Oh, yeah, this year I'm running as a conservative. Turns out I'm conservative this time. So I'm extremely conservative, and, you know, all that conservative stuff, I'm all about that, and whatever that is, and whatever you need me to say on that, I could totally say. That's exactly what he was saying.
He's basically telling you, hi, I'm Mitt Romney. I'm a liberal Democrat, but I play a severe conservative on TV.
Exactly.
You know?
And I was talking with the Honorable Attorney Richard Gilbert on the other show earlier. He says, you know, if I come on my show, I'm going to promote Ron Paul. And I said, that's fine. You've been on my show before.
Right.
We do not attack people that are like-minded and, how would you say it, well-versed and do not use attack methods to attack other candidates. And Richard Gilbert on this Ron Paul show says, yes, we need to, he will remember coming on my show, and he said he would be more than happy to come on my show. I wish I could remember everything exactly how it transpired this past Monday.
Well, it's an important thing, Sammy. I think that you know, we might not know the finer points. I don't think any of us on the line right now, probably most of our listeners are not members of the bar, so we don't have to get that technical. But in simple terms, the law is clear. Okay, the Voters' Rights Act of 1971 is very clear that you cannot coerce someone into voting for anything that will have an effect on a public office, especially president, including delegates and convention. It's clear. Now, it's never been exercised before because, for the most part, you either had people who were voting for whoever was being nominated willingly, so there wasn't an issue, or everybody was snowed over so much that there wasn't even a peep out of anybody to object to it, except for one person, I believe, in 2008 who objected to voting for John McCain and wanted to vote for Mitt Romney, and Jennifer Sheehan of the RNC, legal counsel there, basically said, yeah, according to the revised rules of 1980, which reflect the rules of 1964, the delegates are free agents. So it's a given fact, and it is the GOP rules. But now that they've woken up one day and said, oh, crap, these people have realized how the rules work. And these aren't our people. These are regular Americans who are conservative and libertarian. We're not in charge anymore. They've figured out our game. We've got to change the rules. Okay?
Yeah.
And so now we've got this court case, and the important thing here, it's not going to change the law. It's not going to define the law. The law is the law. What this is going to do is put a current case on the record where this law is being tested in this manner so that these delegates who may feel a moral binding or if they are concerned about their position or they're being coerced or they're being bribed or they're being pressured, whatever it is, will know that the force of law is behind them to vote their conscience. And that means that anybody that messes with them before, during, or after that vote is committing a felony.
Exactly.
That's a pretty serious thing. So the fact that Richard Gilbert is doing this is awesome. And let's be clear about something. And this is something that I think we all have to, you know, look. If you're trying to be a good person, okay, then you got to admit your flaws, your failings, and your faults, your prejudices, your preconceived notions. You got to admit them. And I'm gonna point a finger at our camp, okay? In general, conservatives tend to be very obedient to the rules. That's why we're conservatives. We want things to be as they are to be right. Okay? Here's the problem. We are so obedient to these rules that we take precedent as law, which it is not. We take past events as an indication of, well, this is how it happens. We take inevitable things given to us by those higher up, such as Mitt Romney's the guy, so unless you like Barack Obama, you got to get behind him. We tend to bow a little too much on these things. If you're really conservative, okay, then you got to stand up for what's right. And what's right is that Ron Paul has a right to be heard, and Ron Paul's delegates and his supporters, although some of them might not exactly be to my liking or yours, okay, they're passionate, and they have a right to be heard, and frankly, they have every right to be pissed off, because look at where we are now. And everybody who's worried about the Ron Paul guys, let me tell you something. You're a Newt Gingrich supporter? Where the hell were you? Why isn't there a movement like what Ron Paul has inspired behind Newt Gingrich? Where are the conservatives? Half of them capitulated. They are now on the coattails of liberal Democrat Mitt Romney. Okay? But the Ron Paul guys, they haven't capitulated. Now, the ones that have, I'll argue from the beginning, were never true libertarians, were never true constitutionalists. These were plans from the beginning. So there's a lot to be said about the passion and the campaign for liberty and the Ron Paul revolution, and you better be applauding. Not only is this the future of the party, but if it wasn't for these guys, we would be one small silent voice saying, Newt, Newt. In the meantime, the Romney train would have already won. So this is something serious, and I need everybody to really understand this. Bury the hatchet. You want to pick it up after that first ballot and go at each other? Fantastic. That is contentious, beautiful, Thunderdome American politics. But what's going on right now is six. This is how they do it in banana republics. This is how they do it in the third world. This is how they do it in communist countries. We're not putting up with it. Am I right, guys?
Right.
Absolutely.
We are not shutting up, and I think I shared with you, Rex, about the two emails I had yesterday. Did I talk to you yesterday about that?
No. Yesterday I was ducking and covering from the drones and the other guys that are trying to shut the show down. So unfortunately, no, I didn't. Why don't you fill us in?
Well, I had a drone after me sending me two more nasty emails with pictures of me and it smells like a fish.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
I mean, these guys just do not give up, and they don't understand that we are so stuck in our values, we are so stuck in our beliefs. And these idiots out there think they can try to scare us or smear us or shut us up. And you know what I told you about the other day on the telephone? That could have been some of these people trying to mess with me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Look, Sammy, you're dangerous. You're dangerous, Sammy. You've been the voice. You've got the biggest audience. You've gotten other people inspired. You got Robert Jetter Sunday through Thursday in this time slot. You got Tex and Rex in this time slot because of what you did. They don't want you to do that anymore. You're inspiring people. You're standing up. You're being counted. You're making your voice heard. And we're making a difference. There's a change. These guys are on their heels. And I'm not trying to thump my chest. I'm just saying they're on their heels because of what we all together are doing.
They didn't. You
have a right to thump your chest. You have a right to be proud of what you're doing. And without people like you, yes, I might have got it started, but Robert's show is growing, your show is growing. I looked at today on Politics Conservative on Block Talk. When I switched it over from strictly politics, I had been number one there a lot of times. I've made it to the highest place on conservative politics that I've been into. That's number three right now. And, I am, yes, I'm beating my chest, but I'm not beating my chest for myself. I'm beating my chest for the listeners and the callers. Because without the listeners and callers, our shows would be nothing.
Yeah, that's right. And Sammy, the thing is, people want to hear this. That's why they're seeking it out. And that's what's killing the Romney people. They didn't expect any of this. They're like, well, what's going on? Now everybody's creating their own shows. Now they're out there. You know, they thought they were going to go out and message jam everything on Facebook and Twitter and shut everyone down until it was just the Mitt Romney show. All that did was infuriate everyone. You know, now they're reaping the whirlwind, you know, so to speak. And they're just like, whoa, what's going on? I mean, the Republican Party itself, all the way from the grassroots up to the leadership, is shaken by this thing. You know, Rince Priebus is like, my God, you know, I mean, how much flack is that guy taking? He's like, hey, you know, I thought this was going to be a cushy job. Nobody even knows what I do, you know. I mean, I don't even see that guy on television, so I don't know what he does. He's always golf Vayner or something.
Even if you see him on television, he's uneventful and unmemorable. That guy's done such a terrible job. He's pretty soon he's going to be afraid of picking up the soap, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know one thing. If you look on all my, I think Rex is on all my pages, and I'm not sure how many you are, Tex. I think you're on two or three.
Yeah.
I
mean, at this point, I'm not accepting group requests because my email, I have like 10 billion emails every day from all the groups I'm part of.
Oh, tell me about it. But, I mean, I get people sending, Rex can go on all my pages and see all the videos I've uploaded over the past 3 years.
I've seen them.
And I cannot get back into posting these. People are emailing me, asking me, when are you going to get back to video blogging again? It ain't never going to happen. I'm done. I am not going to give the lamestream media, and including Fox News, they will never get no more advertisements from me. I will keep on running my show and not shut up.
Yeah, I mean, Sammy, why would you go back to posting the videos when your voice is so loud and so powerful? Well, let's be clear about something. I really want to make this point. This is an important point because they come after you, right? We got some technical problems here, but, you know, we're small fish compared to what you're doing. They come after you. And what they don't understand is they think that if they come after you, and if they use so-called friends to come after you, or they use a different angle, like, hey, why don't you go back to doing the videos? Those were really cool. Get off the air, okay? What they don't realize is that just pisses all of us off. And for every time you come after Sammy, there's going to be two or three or more of us.
I agree.
We're not going to stop.
I agree. And watch the potty mouth there, Rex, you know. But, yeah, that just makes everyone pissed off. You know, like, leave me alone. I'm doing my thing. I find my own success. My success is not granted to me by you, and you don't tell me what to do. You know, I don't want to do that anymore. You know why? Because it's boring. So now I'm doing this, and I'm doing this so much that apparently you got to try to throw me off the trail. So now I'm going to do it 10 times more until you start crying, because that's my goal.
And now, have you seen Barbara Haney's newest clip?
The one where she talks about Andrea Saul?
No, it's by John Boehner.
Oh, no, I haven't. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Like
it's where kind of like John Boehner endorses a broker convention or open convention. I'm going to play it on my show tonight, the audio.
Okay.
No,
really.
Great.
Excellent.
Well, for everybody that just heard that, if you want to look at Barbara's videos, 147 Degrees West on YouTube, man, you will find her stuff. And follow my Twitter trail, SBQR at Rex Christie, and you'll find most of Barbara's videos because I tweet her stuff out a lot because she is one smart lady and she really lays it out well.
That woman is so well-versed and such a hoot. You got to love her. Even if you're a Romney supporter, you got to love her because the young lady has a very, how would you say it?
Chutzpah.
I mean, she is awesome. Just like y'all are and just like Robert is. And please, if y'all want to look at all these links to Robert's show, you can go to Newt Now, and I'm trying to work on getting Mark to get your show up on Newt Now.
Well, you know, our show is a minor footnote at the end of the weekend. I mean, our power has been in the archives, and I think Friday and Saturday are probably the worst nights for radio. Everybody's got something else to do, but we've been getting almost 1,000% over our listenership in the rebroadcast or the archives because,
amen,
as Tex said earlier, people are hungry for this information. You know, they've got the pretty faces on TV with the nice suits making their insipid little five-minute talking points and saying absolutely nothing. And, from the right we have so-and-so, and from the left we have this other guy, and they're going to come here and they're going to tell you why you're a moron and they're controlling what you're thinking. And people are just insulted by this. And if you're not insulted by it, then throw your TV out the window because it's making you stupid. Okay? Well, Rex, that's what these people do.
Rex, maybe this is a good jumping-off point for what we were talking about earlier today. I got a couple extra details on that, too, while we were just on the air here. So earlier today, Charlie Kay wrote a column in the Washington Post where he was giving Romney some advice. You know, pro tip, that thing's actually written on Wednesdays, but it runs on Fridays. Anyway, so what he's talking about is how there's two ways to run against Mitt Romney. Against Barack Obama. I get those two confused. I don't know, the same dude. Anyway. But
they're like twins. They're like twins.
What's that?
I said they're like twins.
Yeah,
exactly.
One of them is part Mexican and one of them is part Arab. That's the only difference between the two of them.
They're joined at the pelvis, these guys. Anyway, so what he's saying is you can run against Obama's record or you can run against him as an ideologue, right? And what Charles was saying is, hey, you need to run against him as an ideologue, right? And so I tuned in, I heard Rush Limbaugh talking about this on the radio, and Limbaugh was like, I've been saying this forever. What, you have? Okay, if you say so, big guy, you know, Chief Wagga Wagga, you've been saying this forever, you need to run an ideological campaign. But then he said something very interesting. He said, when Newt Gingrich was running the campaign and he was doing this, he was attacking him based on ideology, I was very supportive of that. Okay, so that's interesting, right? And he said, but Romney, he needs to surround himself with real conservatives who can speak the language and all this kind of stuff. Okay, so notice what's implied there. The fact that Romney needs to surround himself with real conservatives, you know, meaning because he's not. That's implied. Maybe Limbaugh doesn't even know that he implied that, but that's exactly what's, at least in Limbaugh's subconscious and in all of our consciousness, is that Romney's not a real Republican, so he needs to surround himself with them. And so Limbaugh was saying, what a great idea this is that Charles had, and that Romney should do it. Well, here's the problem with that. Romney can't do that because Romney doesn't disagree with Barack Obama's ideology in the first place.
That's right.
He believes the same policies. That's why he's got to run against his record, and he does a lackluster job because Barack Obama's record is almost exactly like his record in Massachusetts. So, you know, the guy, he's not running on Bain. He's not running on the fact he did the Olympics. He's not running on, you know, all his, you know, his record as governor of Massachusetts. He's running on what? I'm Mitt Romney, you know. I bought this party, so why aren't you breaking out the party hats for me? That's what Mitt Romney's running on. But a critical
he's running
thing,
on ABO. Tex, he's running
yeah,
on
yeah, that's
ABO.
What he's running on, ABO.
This piece of crap idea that they floated so early on, anybody but Obama. You know what? I mean, if Hitler was running, would we go anybody but Obama? I mean, come on.
Yeah, I mean, you know, anybody but Obama. Vote Stalin. What? No. You know, I mean, it's the same thing I was saying the other day. You know, hey, you can get herpes, you can get syphilis. Which one you want? You know, I don't want either. No, stop it. But I think a critical support just broke here, or at least, you know, there's a vast disturbance in the force. There's a rotten Denmark, whatever metaphor you prefer, depending upon your age and you know, need for literary elegance. But the editors over there at National Review Online, one of whom is, well, the chief editor is Rich Lowry, by the way, also used to work for CK. They have been the biggest Romney boosters this whole time. I mean, this Catherine Jean Lopez, I mean, my God, since whenever that guy got elected governor of Massachusetts in 2002, she'll shut up about this guy. I mean, I think she's got a crush on him. Look, just find the man and kiss him already. I mean, for God's sake, kiss him, you fool. Quit bothering us with it. You know, your crush is really is starting to get bothersome, you know. So, and, you know, from what I understand, you know, they pick up more than one. So, you know, you could be one of them. That's all I'm saying. But, you know, they've been really pushing this idea really hard. And when I was on their site, man, they were, you know, trying to bring the pain on me. You know, that's always a big mistake, big mistake. You know, so I left a lot of decimated bodies over there in their chat over the months. But so now the editors, a.k.a. Rich Lowry, has a new editorial called Don't Panic. And this came out today, and it says that Republicans in the pundit and strategist class need to take a deep breath. Yes, Mitt Romney has been behind in most of the polls, both in the nation as a whole and in swing states. Yes, there's some evidence that the brutal and unscrupulous ad campaign by the Democrats is hurting his numbers. Yes, the press has been emphasizing his gaffes and alleged gaffes. And yes, the air is now thick with advice about how Romney needs to reboot his campaign. Some of that advice is even coming from people who wish the campaign well. There's like two guys, who apparently Rich Lowry and his friend. Many conservatives are urging Romney to make a bold running mate pick to shake up the race. Others say he needs to offer more policy detail. Okay, so the title of the thing is Don't Panic. You know why? Because they're panicked.
That's right.
That's right.
I mean, the minute a despot or a central banker comes out and tells you everything's fine, start worrying, because it means that they're crapping in their magic underwear.
Yep.
I don't want to smell their underwear either.
The wheels are coming off this thing really fast. It's becoming painfully obvious to everyone that this is not going to go Romney's way, and that... You know, they think, oh, look, Obama's so bad. We'll go terrify the American people and just say, no, you just got to vote for Romney because we got to stop this Obama because he's so bad. Don't you even think about it. You just run in there and you just go vote for anybody but Obama. Well, the problem is you've so terrified the American people, and Barack Obama has so decimated our country economically and in almost every other way you can imagine that the people are like, what in the hell is going on? You know, and business as usual, which is the ABO strategy that essentially most Republicans always say is we'll just march in lockstep with the leadership, that's gone out the window. It's like, this leadership sucks. These people are terrible. They don't know what the hell they're doing. Who the heck is John Boehner? What does that guy think that he's doing? How is he the Speaker of the House? Get rid of him. Who the heck is, you know, or who the hell is Rince Priebus or Rince Pubis or whatever the frig his name is? You know, what's Mitt Romney? How did he get in there? Who's this Republican chairman over in, you know, Maine causing problems? You know, what's with Mitt Romney creating a shadow party in Nevada that runs around the actual Republican Party of Nevada because it's the only thing that will work with Romney? People are like, what in the hell is going on?
Tex, I'll tell you what's going on, and I'll tell you who these people are and what you can call them. These people are Tories, okay? These people are Tories. They're about the old order, okay? And if for a little bit of history here, let's go back to colonial America, which was actually called British America, because it was part of the British Empire under the crown of England, okay? So you had the Tories, who were basically loyalist British, and they were saying, hey, these dumb redneck farmers out here harvesting their tobacco, and they're thinking that they've got some kind of rights to self-determination because something called the House of Burgesses used to meet in Williamsburg and basically govern the colonies through self-autonomy here. They got an idea that they're independent of us. And so, you know, we got to shut these guys down, these grassroots redneck farmers. They're not like us. They're not Tories, okay? That's what they did. And that led to war. And a war that took us a while to win, but here's the thing. They were fighting according to the tactics of the time. These are the redcoats I'm talking about now. They were fighting in formation. They were fighting in lines, okay? And the regular Continental Army, being trained in the same arts of warfare, fought like that. But there was something else. It wasn't just the Continental Army. That's the American Army, okay? There were also the militia, not regular army. These are regular American folks from the 13 colonies who owned weapons because our right to bear arms existed here before the Second Amendment was ever written. Okay, so all those people who are against the Second Amendment, our right to bear arms has been here all along, and they formed militias. Now, these militias, some of them were had fought in the French Indian War. Some of them were on the frontier, so they were dealing with Indians who had different war tactics than the colonials and the Europeans. And so we changed and we adapted. And our guys, our Minutemen, our regular, our army, and our militia were fighting differently for the terrain and the time. And the Tories and the Redcoats hadn't figured out that the times and the tactics had changed, and they lost. And the old guard Republican rhinos are trying to run a Ford H.W. Bush campaign when this is not, this is not
against
your daddy's
Barry Goldwater
campaign anymore. That's right.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the other thing to know is back in the day, you know, the British Army, that was the greatest military in the world at the time. But, you know, they're showing up all over the place. They get off a boat, they're like, I don't know, where am I today? Is this India? What, you know, what are we doing, you know? you know, we're fighting some Boers today. Like, no, he's fighting American colonialists. Okay, whatever, you know. Let's go over to this dude's house and take everything from his farm, kick him out, and let's go over there and eat. All right, now what do? I don't know, you stand in the lines, you just shoot at the dudes, and they go away. Right, but the Americans are like, this is my country, this is my land, this is my ground. I know this whole place. You know, they don't know the woods, they don't know anything about this. I'm going to destroy these dudes. And so, you know, we sent them home packing, you know, because we had the passion on our side. Same thing with this, you know, this old guard Republicans. They think they're going to sit back and it's going to be business as usual. They're just going to tell us a bunch of platitudes, you know, throw us some biscuits, like, oh, we'll put that in the platform to you, and now you'll shut up. Well, you don't listen to the Constitution, idiots. Why do I care about your platform? You know? It doesn't matter what that thing says. If there's no Constitution, I don't believe in your platform either, you know? And so now they're like, oh, my God, you know, people, they're rabid. They're ideologues. Yeah, we're ideologues, dude. We believe in the Constitution. Turns out, at the end of the day, we believe in the Constitution. Apparently, you've been fooling us, thinking, because we thought you believed in it too, but it's becoming painfully obvious that you don't, so get out of the way and go home.
Well, I'm a neo, according to what the Ron Paul people wanted to call me on that show earlier, I'm a neocon.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, Kim was right there, and let me interject this here real quick, and we'll get back to the subject. Last night we had ladies' night. We had nothing but beautiful ladies on the show except for Robert.
I should have dialed in.
It was ladies' night, but we cannot. My family has been in this country since the 1600s. We cannot back down for what our forefathers fought for in accepting what the Republican Party wants to shove down our throat and tell us we have to support their candidate. I'm sorry, the old guard, as Tex very eloquently said, we cannot shut up and we cannot back down. We cannot accept these idiots trying to tell us who we have to support. My right to vote for who I want to vote for is my right. Your right is your right.
Yep.
Vote
with conviction. Vote with conviction. Don't just vote because they said he's the guy someone to vote for. I mean, if for the odd person out there, and I don't know, maybe there's a couple, who actually agrees with Mitt Romney on policy, who likes Mitt Romney, who thinks Mitt Romney would be a good president genuinely, then they should vote their conscience. I mean, all three of them can vote for it. But for the rest of us, you know, why are you voting for this guy? What is it that there's no passion there? So vote your conscience. And, I mean, look, you guys
they're
are
voting
100%.
Because, oh, he's the winner. He's not the winner if you don't vote for him, knucklehead. So, oh, but I want to vote for the winner. Well, then you better stop voting Romney because he's not the winner. You know?
What?
You're voting for the loser. And you're betraying your own beliefs in doing so. Stop doing that.
What, and for my Georgia brethren, please do not punch the thing that says straight Republican Party.
Oh, never do that.
Don't ever do that. Go through each candidate. I've already voted. We voted yesterday, early voting here in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And for our local state primary, and to make sure that Bill Nelson does not ever get reelected.
Mm-hmm.
And we voted our conscience. We went down through the sample ballot, and I went down and showed this to all my family.
Right.
I said, this is a constitutional conservative. This is a rhino. That one guy from the U.S. House that's running against Bill Nelson, I do not want him as my U.S. Senator. I forgot his name, but, I mean, he has been in trouble with the law so many times. And I voted.
That's the thing. You've got to watch out these scoundrels, you know. It's like becoming a politician is the last refuge of a scoundrel, you know. They start running for office. We had a dude down here who, you know, said he was running against the guy because he has a Mexican-sounding name. He's like, I'm bound to win if I run against this dude. And the whole Republican Party of Texas is like, my God, no way. And so nobody endorsed the guy. But he had, like, a catchy slogan and some money behind him and all this kind of stuff, but he didn't make it. You know, because even if you do some basic homework on these guys, you know, and I'm talking, like, 15 minutes of research before you get, you know, get in your car and go drive over to the ballot box, you can weed out 80% of all the knuckleheads out there. You know, so you got to do your homework.
Absolutely true. You're 100% right, Texas. The amazing thing to me is some people think this is like American Idol. You know, wait till the end of the night and you pick for your favorite based on what they just did. This is serious, people. You can't just do it like that. Now, again, I'm talking to the delegates here because obviously none of us get to vote till November 6th. But you can't just go down there and say, hey, Romney's the guy. I'm going to vote for the guy. You as a delegate, and everyone listening, whether you're listening now live or you're listening to the archive, you got to tell your delegates, this is serious stuff. This is not American Idol. This is not Survivor. This is a republic. People's lives are at stake here. Know what you're doing. Who is this guy that you're allegedly bound to go vote for?
Amen.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's like, you know, people walk down the aisle and they're like, oh, General Mills over here, Kellogg over there. I feel like Kellogg's today. No. This isn't cornflakes. This is a country. You know, you got to think a little bit. Who is this guy? How did he end up in the Republican Party? I mean, think of it this way. We've been talking about analogies in colonial era. I mean, one of the things that used to go on back then, you know, were mutinies, right? It actually started when this country was first discovered by Europeans, okay? And before anybody starts yelling at me, there were already people here. I'm talking about a Western civilization, European discovery of this great nation of ours.
The American maps didn't contain Eurasia, and the Eurasian maps didn't contain America until Columbus came. Yes, people were coming, but they were keeping it a commercial secret. The club
exactly.
discovered America because he put it on the freaking map.
That's right. Yeah. So now Columbus got basically a crew that was full of not your most reputable characters, you know, been in trouble with the law since the day they were born. That's just kind of the thing, because who really wanted to go out and sail? And it wasn't that they thought they were going to fall off the edge of the earth because the earth was flat. You're talking about the 15th century here, people. We knew that the world was round back in Copernicus's day, okay? So they weren't afraid of falling off the edge of the earth. They were afraid of being out at sea without food and fresh water. Because Columbus was like, we're going to sail in this direction for 30 days. They're like, 30 days? That is a hell of a long time to be out at sea with no land, okay? And guess what they did on that 30th day? They freaked out. They're like, we got to go back. This guy's crazy. He's going to send us in the middle of the ocean. We're going to starve or we're going to dehydrate and die. So they were going to do a mutiny, and he begged them. He said, look, give me 3 days. And he had mass said, and they prayed, okay? And those guys agreed, all right, we're going to give you 3 days, but if on that third day you haven't gotten us somewhere, you're dead, okay? And on that third day, they found the Bahamas, okay? It's a miracle that it happened. But this is what I want to talk about, mutiny. This is when the crew says the captain is screwing us. We're going to rise up and take him down, okay? Now, we are being painted as the mutineers. Us, genuine conservatives, constitutional conservatives, regular Americans, libertarians, Tea Party, Campaign for Liberty, they're saying that we are committing a mutiny against Rince Bubis and John Boehner That's what they're saying, Mitch McConnell.
I'm
That's what
enjoying
they're saying.
It. I want to get an
Well, let's be honored, maybe. But we are not the mutineers. Let's be clear about something. Because there was a captain of this great ship Republican Party who was leading it in the right direction. He hoisted sails, made an about turn, started heading towards the right. Now, he didn't do a 180, all right? He's not a stupid admiral. He knew that you got to turn a big ship slowly, but he was turning it to the right. And what they did, and the ones I'm talking about are Lindsey Graham, John Boehner, little Ricky Santorum and their ilk. They rose up, and they committed a mutiny against Speaker Newt Gingrich in 1999, and they took him out of the speakership and went on a drunken sailor spending spree for the next 7 years that brought us to 2006, where we lost the majority that Newt Gingrich got for us, and then 2 years later, we lost the presidency to Barack Obama. That's what they did.
And we lost the narrative of our party. We couldn't even run as a party that cut taxes to balance the budget anymore because we had all those knuckleheads up there screwing everything up for us and destroying our good name.
That's right. Yep.
Let me ask y'all a question. Did John Linder ever attack Newt Gingrich? And I know Tex knows who John Linder is very well.
I do not believe that he did so. No, not at all.
No, he was the founder of the Fair Tax Movement.
Yeah, he's from John Linder's from Georgia.
He was my representative living in Hotlanta.
Yeah.
And John Linder was awesome. And he retired in 2010, which I'm sorry he did. I know he's getting old.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we cannot have these rhinos out there that want to keep on promoting their rhino values. That's reason.
Yeah.
That is the reason we do not need Mitt Romney, and that's why we need people like Newt Gingrich in office, who I support 100%, but I will say this again, but if Ron Paul is our candidate, I will vote for him in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and Sammy, well, you know what? That's just a smart thing to do, and when people attack you for that crap, that just really upsets me. Ron Paul is a constitutionalist, and he actually, as far as pro-constitution, has been a louder voice than Newt Gingrich, which I actually think is a laudable thing. Unfortunately, I think being that loud for the Constitution prevented him from being nearly as effective because, like I said, you can't make a 180-degree turn. You got to do it incrementally. You got to do it a little slowly. It's too jarring, and it won't happen because the entrenched interests are too powerful. But he's been a staunch and outspoken constitutionalist. Why should any conservative have any trouble voting for him when they're so easily going, well, you know, I was a Gingrich guy, I was a Cain guy, I was a Michelle Bachmann guy, but, you know, Mitt Romney's the guy. If it's so easy for you to vote for a liberal loser Democrat like Mitt Romney, what's your problem voting for a guy like Ron Paul who's actually conservative, who's actually a constitutionalist? It's nuts.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the other thing about voting for these guys, you know, it's like, okay, well, you know, up in Massachusetts, maybe you got to get a Massachusetts moderate, you know, to win up there. But what's really the point if later on that's going to boomerang on you because they're wearing our uniform and they're doing things in our name, but they're undermining our message and they're diluting our message, and then later on they get the idea that, hey, I could be the president of this thing. And then they go buy a bunch of votes, the next thing you know, you got this nonsense going on. No more rhinos. It's too freaking dangerous.
Yep.
Yeah.
Amen.
You know, it's killing us. We just can't have them, you know. Just forget about it. Fight the battles on ideological grounds. And the way you win this is you don't find a wolf in sheep's clothing to say that he's on your side and put an elephant on his chest. Is you get the people of that community woken up and like, hey, are you seeing what's going on here? Holy crap, what are you doing? Get off the couch, you know. Start paying attention. Stop, you know, sitting back and being a mind-numb robot, you know. That's Mitt Romney's job, that Romney bought 5,000. He's a mind-numb robot that loses
Amen.
Elections. He's good at it. I just want to give a shout-out real quick about Christopher Columbus and the whole that they thought the Earth was flat thing. This myth has been going on for way too freaking long. Eratosthenes, back in the ancient world, he measured the size of the earth based on two wells in Egypt. One was in Alexandria, and at the summer solstice, if you looked down the well, you could see that the sun was off by some angle, which he measured. And there was another well way up the Nile that on the summer solstice, if you looked down, it went straight down the well. He measured the angle, and by measuring the angle of the sun in those two places, he figured out the earth was round, and he estimated the size, and he was off by 15%. And that information was lost during the Dark Ages, but during the Renaissance, they found all those old books, and they started reading them again, and they knew it was round, and that's how Columbus knew it was round.
Well, let me correct you a little bit there. That information wasn't lost. It wasn't burned in the fire in Alexandria.
Well,
it was known throughout Western civilization all along. It's just that at the time when you've got Muslims attacking from the south and Vikings attacking from the north, no one was really thinking about sailing around the world. It wasn't until the enemies were defeated and the wealth through the free market, the capitalist system of merchants, that there was enough wealth to go, hey, you know what? Why don't we build some ships and go check out the rest of this stuff, okay, that we were able to mount a mission to go around. And it started with Portugal, small little Portugal in that peninsula, went around the Horn of Africa, and then Columbus. I mean, think about this. When Columbus was out there trying to say, hey, look, I want to sail to China, you know, and I think there's a western route. It'll be good because we won't have to go through the Muslim-controlled Middle East and all the raiders there. We can go around the other way. And so no one would give him a commission. And, in fact, even Isabella and Ferdinand, the monarchs of Spain, weren't going to give him because they had their hands full. They were about to wrap up a 770-year battle against the Muslims in Spain in Granada, and they were like, well, look, I really like you, but we don't have time or money for this. And he left.
Yeah.
He was on his way to France to secure from the French king the money he needed to sail. And that was the moment that Isabella and Ferdinand defeated the Muslims after 770 years, the Reconquista of Spain. And then Isabella sent messengers out after Columbus and said, come back. Our hands are free now. I want to finance your mission. That's how it happened. So let's be clear about something. That means that up until the very last minute, the voyage of Columbus almost didn't happen. Because of persistence, because of passion, because of reason, okay, it was pulled out at the last minute, and that's exactly what's going to happen here. We got 2 weeks. This is not the time to give up. This is not the time to get all namby-pamby and go, well, it looks like we didn't make it, but we gave it a fair shot, so let's vote for the Liberal Democrat. No, this is the time to double down. This is the time for our voices to be louder. This is the time to knock him on his heels. This is the time to embrace the Ron Paul movement and unite Gingrich, Paul, Bachman, Kane, Perry, all of them. If you support any of them who isn't Romney, get on the train now for an open convention. Reignite your friends who used to be for Michelle Bachman or Herman Cain or are now like, well, I guess it's Mitt Romney. Reignite them. They don't have to be for Gingrich. Because if you're not a delegate, I don't care if you're for Gingrich or not. They just have to be for an open convention. And that's all that matters.
That's all we need.
Okay, well, I gotta back off the show now. Get ready. I got to go eat some dinner real quick. And
all right, Sammy.
Get ready for my show. And God bless you two awesome patriots. I love you with all my heart. I love the listeners. We will not shut up. We will not back down. And damn well I'm not going back down.
Absolutely, Sammy. Thanks for calling in, and we will see you on your airwaves 10 to whenever on Blog Talk Radio.
Yep.
Amen. Y'all keep on rocking, patriots, and y'all are very eloquent speakers, and that's the reason I love y'all on my show, because y'all are very eloquent, and you're just like Robert. Robert is 100% awesome, just like you two are. And we will see you on the flip side.
Thanks, Sammy. You're too kind. We'll see you soon.
Thanks a lot, Sammy. And we appreciate that, knowing who it's coming from.
Okay. Well, good night, and we'll see you in about an hour.
Perfect. Okay, talk to you soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
Well, Tex, I think that's that was a lot of compliments, and I think maybe it's probably good for you and I to to get all our energies out in the next hour, so maybe we're a little more
sober
when,
right.
when we're on Sandy's show. Cause
he said we were eloquent, but, you know, that text, not so much. Sometimes that guy lets fly with some stuff, you know. I don't know.
Well, I mean, you know.
You
got to
put a muzzle on
just,
that dude sometimes.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? Eloquent doesn't necessarily mean not profane, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
It just means that you speak it well, you know. Anyway, but the fact is that, you know, Sammy's great, and his show is every single night, 7 days a week, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, Blog Talk Radio. Look it up, Conservatives Unite, I think it's. Anyway, you can look it up on his Facebook pages, Sam Sanford, or on my page. I usually post a show too. And then in this time slot, he mentioned him, 8 to 10, Sunday through Thursday, we got Robert Jetter with Bard's Logic Political Talk. Now, Robert is probably a little more sober than Tex and Rex, but he certainly puts the case forward, and you should listen to him, and he has some great guests. But here's the point. Why are we here? I mean, why are we doing this? Okay, you know, let me just clue everybody in on a little something. There ain't no money in Blog Talk Radio, so I'm not doing this to get paid. Tex, you doing this to get paid?
Heck no.
Yeah, Sammy's not doing this to get paid, neither is Robert. The simple fact is that we need an outlet for our voice because this is our country. And when I say our voice, I'm not talking about Tex and Rex or even Sammy. Every single one of us has a voice. This is our country. This party is supposed to represent people of a certain mindset. It isn't because we're Republicans or we're elephants or we're the red team, okay? This is because this party is supposed to represent certain principles that we hold dear, certain American principles of governance and patriotism. And we have infiltrators and parasites in this party, and you have a right to speak up. Earlier we were talking about a mutiny. We are not the mutineers. We are reclaiming what is ours. The mutineers are Rince Pubis, Mitch McConnell, John Boehner. These are the mutineers, okay? And you can point fingers, and some people have. You can point fingers at Campaign for Liberty and the Ron Paul Revolution and say, hey, these crazy kids, they're mutineers. They're not mutineers. Because the actions of what we do now are going to affect those guys for at least 20 years longer, 40 years longer than the rest of us. It's very real for them. And they're not mutineers.
Yeah.
They're passionate. They're standing up for something that they heard, and they said, hey, that's a good idea. I believe in that. And they said, hey, this guy, Ron Paul, he believes in that too, and he's a Republican, so that means that the Republican Party believes in this. And these are some of the same kids who 4 years ago said, oh, hope and change, that's exactly what we need. They despise the Republicans, not so much because of George Bush, because let's face it, even if he were his enemy, George W. Bush was a likable guy. They despise the Republicans because they stepped in it. They spent money, and they were supposed to be fiscally conservative. They didn't advance the social issues that they were supposed to advance. They didn't advance American exceptionalism. They advanced American imperialism. They pissed everybody off by doing all the things that they weren't supposed to be doing as Republicans and that they weren't doing when Newt Gingrich was Speaker of the House. And that's why people turned away. It's very simple. If you say that you're for something and then you behave contrary, people are going to have trouble trusting you. And so they said, hey, you know what? This guy's saying hope and change. Let's go for him. And then they realized, wow, he pulled a bait and switch too. He said hope and change. He said he's going to end the wars. He started
wars. And he was talking about the debt.
That's right.
People were like, hey, someone's talking about the debt. Hope and change. Yeah, I saw a guy who filed the budget before. You know, I saw this guy over on the Democrat side, you know, Bill Clinton. You know, if you're on the Democrat side, you credit Bill Clinton with all that stuff instead of Newt Gingrich. So they're like, oh, this guy is going to come balance the budget. So they left the Republican Party because they betrayed all their principles. That's why we lost. That's why you have this guy in the White House.
Yep. Yeah, well, I mean, let's be clear. Barack Obama did not win in 2008. John McCain and the Rhinos lost.
Yeah.
They lost. Okay? Had they kept on going down the path that Gingrich had them in 1999, okay, then they would
this
have actually...
This country would be doing great if we hadn't got rid of Newt Gingrich as Speaker of the House. Think
right.
Where we could be today. We
would be
doing so well as a country, but we keep listening to the media crap all the time. Stop listening to those dudes. start paying attention at your local level to what's going on, because I don't know your location. I don't know the dudes that are running for office there. But, you know, these guys are like termites in the woodwork, and you got to start identifying friend from foe over there and getting rid of these termites and putting real conservatives in there. And so that anytime one of these guys gets up there, it's like, oh, yeah, you know, social values, family, whatever, flag, you know, whatever I got to say, country, vote for me. You're like, hey, you don't believe any of that stuff. You know, and you just get them out of there. You know, because they can't fool an awakened populace.
That's right. This isn't a rhetorical argument. This is real substantial stuff here.
This is the fate of the nation here.
That's right. Very serious thing. I take it personally. I take it personally, Tex. I take it personally. This is my country.
I'm taking it personally now, too, because it's affecting everything in my life. You know, but the future, you know, family, all that kind of, everything is being affected by these idiots, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're terrible at what they do, so they had to, well, maybe I could run for office. Like, I hear really terrible people could run for office. They can get away with all this stuff, right? So they go run for office. And the thing is, now they're screwing everything up, okay? There are competent people in the private sector. And now we're all upset, and we got our eyes on you. Hey,
that's
knucklehead,
right.
Who do you think's running the show? Public sector's just a parasite on the private sector. Quit bugging us, because now we're going to bug you, and you're going to have a big, big problem.
Go ahead.
Well, you go ahead, and we can do this other thing later. So go ahead.
Okay. All right. Well, real quick, I just want to say what you touched on is really important. And you know, like I tell everybody at the beginning of the show, if you're just tuning in now, Tex and Rex are irreverent. We're relevant. We're always radioactive, and it's conservatism with a bite. So sometimes we get real passionate, we get real excited, we let the words fly, and we say words like they're idiots, they're ruining the country. Maybe you're getting a little confused about who the they we're talking about are, because everybody automatically assumes this is a conservative show, which means they're talking about the Democrats and the liberals. Wrong. We are not, because we don't believe in this blue team, red team, elephant, jackass, you know, it's sharks and jets game, okay? When we say them, we are talking about those who do not believe that the U.S. Constitution is the supreme law of this land, and that a restrained federal government is to the benefit of all, okay? That's who we're talking about, and they are on both teams.
Yeah, the big conflict is not between left and right. I mean, this isn't the French Revolution over here. It's between that third dimension, statists versus, you know, people who believe in the Constitution, limited government. That's the dimension that I'm talking about. I don't care what party they're in, you know.
Right.
You could be wearing a Republican, you know, or a freaking elephant on your vest or a jackass, and I don't care, you know. You still want the same thing. You want more state-concentrated power. I don't want that. So, you know, we got to find these dudes and get rid of them because they're a problem. And they're screwing up life in the United States of America. And they're doing it on purpose. So get rid of them.
Absolutely. This is a great point you made. They're doing it on purpose. See, sometimes we think, oh, well, why are they doing that? That policy won't work. Well, it won't work if the stated intention was the goal. But what if there was an ulterior motive? You know, what if they tell you we want to do X to provide you with Y, but really they just want Z? Okay.
Yeah.
And you think it's going wrong, but it's going exactly right. For example, and I don't have too much to base this on, but it's a hunch. For example, maybe you want your guy who's in office now, who you bought and paid for, to stay there. And you realize that everything he's done, which maybe you were in favor of, has not resonated well with the voters, and they're going to remove it. So what you need to do is finance a guy who's even worse, so that people will go, eh, you know what, I'm going to stick with the guy we know. Could that happen? I don't know. Maybe. It's pretty possible. It wouldn't be the first time in history, okay? So the thing you have to understand is when you're watching Fox News and you're going, wow, these guys are smart, not like MSLSD, or you're watching CNN and going, wow, these guys are smart, not like Fox News, you have to understand something. All that data that they spew comes from the same place. And it's financed by the same people. It's controlled messaging. And that's why you seem to have this, this intensification this past week of this fight between Barack Obama and Mitt Romney, and between Mitt Romney and Harry Reid. Okay, why? Because we've been out here on these airwaves, on Facebook, on Twitter, talking about how weak and insipid Romney is. So they're like, well, we got to toughen this guy up so the conservatives will like him. So they staged this for your benefit. So you think, hey, Mitt Romney's standing up to Barack Obama and Harry Reid. He's a, you know, I mean, he's a tough guy. We can get behind him. It's a lie. He's not. He's an insipid little weasel. What sport does he choose to finance the Olympics personally? Dressage? Come on, man. There's archery. You know, the javelin. Give me something, pal. But the idea is that he is not liked by you for a very real reason. And don't think that your disdain for Barack Obama is reason to like Mitt Romney. Because even though sometimes you may have to make the lesser bad choice, that's not today. It's not now. Tell your delegates, I don't want to make the lesser bad choice. I want a good choice. Maybe not my good choice, but a good choice. My good choice is Speaker Newt Gingrich. But another good choice would be Ron Paul. Maybe even Sarah Palin. I don't know. All I know is that the delegates need to decide, okay, not Rince Pubis and Mitt Romney. Would you agree with that text? Well, you know, Tex probably agrees with me because I'm always right. I mean, you know, it's just a fact. It's given a known quantity. So the interesting thing, though, is that you have to ask yourself, why, what can I do about it, right? Who am I and what can I do about it? Well, you're an American. You're a sovereign. You have God-given sovereign rights, and this Constitution guarantees them to you. So you need to exercise them. Now, when I say you need to exercise them, it is not up to you if you're not a delegate anymore because you already voted in your primary, right? We don't get a vote again until November 6th, and we may not get a vote at all if they give us a choice of Barack Obama or Mitt Romney, who were practically identical on all of the policies. But your delegate, who was chosen by you in your district to represent you in your vote, to be your voice in Congress at the RNC convention. That delegate is holding a high office of trust. That person is beholden to making the best decision for his constituency or her constituency. And you are that constituency. So you need to let that person know what you want them to do. You need to let that person know that even if it was not a false primary, that the results were genuine and that people wanted Mitt Romney back in April or March. Well, a lot of things have happened since then. And maybe that decision that was made back then is not the smartest decision to make today. You know, maybe things have been revealed that maybe some of us knew and some of us didn't, but they're facts. We know for a fact that George Romney, Willard Mitt Romney's father, who was three times governor of Michigan and a wannabe presidential candidate, set a precedent of releasing 12 years of tax returns so that people know what his financial situation looks like. Now, you know, I'm not one necessarily to call for anybody's tax returns, but if you ask for the highest office in the land, I think we get to interview you pretty hard, and we should. It's our right. So the thing you have to ask yourself is, if his father set that precedent, back in 2008, Willard Mitt Romney provided all those tax returns to his competitor, Senator John McCain. That means that we know that he's willing to release them, obviously, because Senator McCain had them. And John McCain looked at those tax returns and had his people comb over them. And then they decided, well, let's not make Mitt Romney your vice presidential choice. Let's go with a relatively unknown but likable governor of Alaska, Sarah Palin. Likable? Man, she set the RNC convention in 2008 on fire. I mean, McCain was putting people to sleep. Maybe not as much as Mitt Romney, but not too much different. People weren't excited about it. Now, I'll be honest,
I like McCain's story. His sacrifice and his service in Nam, you know, that's very laudable. And so there's something there that you can get behind. But Nam was a long time ago. And since then, that guy that fought in Vietnam, he's done some things that are probably not as honorable, let's just say. So, you know, the Republicans put him up as our guy. And, you know, vote for McCain. He's you know, he's not George Bush, but he's better than Barack Obama. And a lot of us did. And I think that that's okay because, let's face it, John McCain has a fairly pro-life record. John McCain is a Christian who has been a patriot. He's done a lot of things as a senator that I just don't like. He's part of that entrenched rhino group of betrayers of the party. And he picked Sarah Palin, which was pretty exciting, okay? But let's be clear about something. The vice president is the spare. That's the person who gets the job should something happen to your first choice. And I know these days we've been talking a lot about who's Mitt Romney going to pick as his vice president. Well, first he's got to get the nomination. There's no need to have a spare if you're not the guy. And it really doesn't matter because the vice presidential position is relatively powerless unless there's a split in the Senate. Then it becomes kind of important. And it's a springboard for future presidential aspirations, which isn't so bad. But the fact is that it's not the most powerful or important position. So I don't really care when Mitt Romney chooses as vice president. He could pick Sarah Palin. He's not going to make me vote for him, as much as I like Sarah Palin. So
sorry about that. We're having a thunderstorm here, and you were talking, and then all of a sudden I heard you cut out with all the static, and I was like, okay, we've lost Rex, and I launched into like a whole 10-minute thing. And then I was like, I looked down, I was like, oh, I'm the one that disconnected. So I just want you guys to know. I was hitting new highs. I was hitting new highs over there, and that was very eloquent. Sorry I had to listen to Rex, but, you know.
Well, you know, I threw it to you, and you weren't there because you got knocked out by the electricity. Probably, you know, for you conspiracy buffs out there, it could very well be HARP technology. You're not sure what that is? Look up Nikola Tesla and HARP technology. It's an interesting read.
It's just a good old-fashioned thunderstorm, man. We get it down here rolling up off the goal.
There you go. So they had to listen to me. And the tirade I went into, which I want you to jump in on, you know, actually forgot where I started with it, but now I'm on the vice presidents. And if I had another thought that you want me to follow up on, just call in and remind me. The fact is, you know, the people are talking about this slate of speakers, if you can call them that, more like sleepers, at the RNC, the convention that were released this week. And they're GOP so excited about all the great people are going to be speaking, get everybody, all the troops in this big pep rally revved up to vote for a dud, okay? And let's see who's not on the list, because that could tell us who his vice presidential pick is, because these conservative voters are so stupid that as much as they hate Mitt Romney because he's not one of them, if he selects one of them to be his spare, they're going to get real excited. Now, to me, that's just stupid. First of all, I'm voting for president. The vice president is the person that takes the position if that something happens to that person. And secondly, is it really a smart policy to run in a party that despises you and then pick a replacement that people like? I mean, I'm not suggesting anything here, but I'm just saying, is that a smart strategy? I mean, look at Barack Obama, right? He picked Joe Biden. That's like no matter what he does, people are going to be like, well, we've got to be careful because if anything happens to him, it'll be President Joe Biden. You know? So I'm just saying, who cares who Mitt Romney picks as vice president? Is that going to make you vote for him? I mean, Tex, does it matter?
Yeah. I hate this whole thing. Oh, that was a good choice. That was a really good choice. You know, back in the day, the reason you picked a guy as vice president is because it brought together these regional tickets. So you, like, got a guy from the South, and then you pick someone from the West. You got a guy from the Northeast, you pick someone from the South or whatever, the Midwest or whatever it is, right? But nowadays, it doesn't really work that way anymore. And everybody knows the secret's out. The vice president doesn't do very much at all unless he's like Dick Cheney and it's like, you know, can, like, force choke someone from, like, 2,000 miles away. If you can't do that and you're vice president, I mean, take a nap, man. So it doesn't really matter.
It's just rhetoric to get the hoi polloi excited about an unexcitable, you know, a candidate you can't get excited behind.
It's a way to add, like, conservative spice to your lame-rod rhino suits, like, hey, this is terrible rhino soup here, but, you know, I put a little, you know, I put a little conservative into it. So what do you think about it now? Like,
so,
you,
I mean,
still,
like,
suck.
Yeah, I mean, if you boil some dishwater and throw some cayenne pepper in it, it's still going to taste like dishwater. I ain't drinking it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I'm not interested.
No.
Give me.
Yeah. Even if you got Petraeus. Look, I love Petraeus and everything, but, you know, if you got Petraeus on the bottom of that ticket, your ticket's all screwed up because the one dude should be at the top and the other dude should be at the bottom, you know. And
yeah,
the other dude should actually not even be there. He should go home. But, you know, whatever.
Or I mean, look, I mean, if we're talking about vice presidents, I mean, let's face it, you know, Joe Biden hasn't had really a stellar performance other than for late-night comedian fodder. So,
you know what I love about Joe Biden? I absolutely love this about Joe Biden. When he announced his presidential race in 2008, I mean, this guy, he came out of the gate, he got up on stage, he looked at the press, he was like, bam, shot himself right in the foot. And then he was like, oh, yeah, I did that. Then he looked at him again, he laughed, he shot himself in the other foot, and as Newt Gingrich would say, he left a trail of blood as he walked off the stage.
Yeah, he's highly entertaining, but let's face it, he's not helping Barack Obama out too much. So I'm thinking, hey, let's do Barack Obama a favor. Let's give him Mitt Romney.
Yeah.
That would be a good vice presidential choice for Barack Obama, wouldn't it? I mean, you solve two problems, right? Romney would get to run, okay, which is what he really wants to do. He wants to run. He wants to be the guy. He gets to run. He gets to run in a place where he feels more ideologically at home, right? You know, so that makes sense. And and we get to put up someone counter him. And since Mitt Romney thinks he's so good at what he does, then he should handily be the Gingrich Paul ticket, right? So I'm thinking what we should really push for is Obama Romney 2012. Versus Gingrich Paul 2012. That would be cool.
That's an awesome ticket right there. Obama Romney versus Gingrich Paul. That would be incredible.
That would be fun and exciting.
I'd take tickets to see that.
I think it would be the highest turnout election in history. People would be excited about that one.
That new villa shooting blue flame, you know, all over Obama. He's just withering, doesn't know, you know, doing 7 hours at a time. It's like, I don't have, my teleprompter doesn't have 7 hours to stop. They can't write this fast enough for me, you know. And it's like, no, don't worry. I'll just talk for the 7 hours. You just sit there and cry, right, you know. And then you have Paul versus Romney. Romney's like, I don't know what conservative, who's Mises? What's going on? That would be absolutely hilarious. That would be the best thing they could ever possibly have.
It would be so exciting. And of course, everybody will tell, you know, I'm sure we're going to get callers now and complaints. So I'm going to get hit on Facebook. Well, that's just unfair to Joe Biden.
Please complain.
That's just, unfair to Joe Biden, right? Yeah. Well, I mean, I got a great position for Joe Biden, right? Assuming that Obama Romney 2012 wins, which we know would never happen. But let's just say that they won. They could make Joe Biden ambassador to England. He can't possibly do a worse job than either one of those morons did when they went there.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Rex, can I launch into what I was doing, you know, when I thought...
Hey, you don't need my permission.
Disconnected?
Yeah, you don't need my permission. Just, you know, we're ever radioactive. Just, you know, fly with it.
I know.
If people like it, they listen. If they don't like it, they call and complain, and we laugh about it. Go.
I know. I asked for permission. What I meant to say is, shut up! Anyway. No, I was going to say, back to that Discovery of America thing, you know. You were talking about how, you know, the Muslims had monopolized the spice trade and everything in the Mediterranean. They were sort of griefing the Venetian Empire there. And, you know, the Vikings, they were doing this thing up in the north. So, you know, my ancestors, we were Team Viking, you know, kind of. So, sorry about that, you know. So not only did one of my ancestors burn Atlanta, we kind of burned down Cornwall and Castile and, you know, Marseille and Rome. We got all up in that Sicily thing. Sorry about all that. But, you know, that's water under the bridge. But then, you know, Columbus, he went to America. He talked to Ferdinand Isabella, and he was like, look, I got this idea. I'm going to do this voyage over to America, or, well, to the Indies. I think it's the Indies. You know, my measurement's a little off, you know. But I'm going to go over the Indies, and then we find a secret way to the spices. We don't have to deal with all this stuff. And Isabella looked him in the eye, and she said, I like the idea. But what can you do for me in terms of cancer research in rats? And he was like, so we could totally do that. We could add that as a thing to the mission. No, because that's what we're doing in the space program now. We used to have the Skylab, right? So we launched Skylab up into space. And then Carter and Congress decided, well, you know, the orbit's a little messed up, and it probably cost like $10K, you know, $100K to get this thing back in orbit. But let's not do that. Let's just let that thing burn up, right? And that's what they did. But they still built a vehicle meant to go service Skylab. That was known as the space shuttle. Now you got a space shuttle to nowhere, right? So it goes up there and it does cancer research in rats or whatever the heck it's doing, you know, and all this other kind of stuff. So it's sort of pointless. Finally, we start getting the space station. Now, I don't know this for a fact, but I think I know. When did you start getting the space station? Didn't that happen long about the mid to late 90s, right? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Who was Speaker of the House back then?
I think it was... That was the guy from Georgia with the white hair.
Yeah, yeah.
Always has big ideas.
Yeah, the guys with, like, an interest in space and stuff like that. Yeah, so all of a sudden you had a space shuttle that actually had a place to freaking go, right, and something to do. Like, why are we spending money on a space shuttle that doesn't go anywhere? You know,
right.
Let's have it go somewhere. And so now... The thing is, let's go to the moon, right? Let's set up a base there. We've already been to the moon. It's not very hard. It's not that far away when you have a spaceship. If you have a base,
and there's
an
American flag already planted up there.
Yeah, exactly. You know, build a base up there. We can get resources. We can get, you know, there's probably water up there. You know, some other things we can use. Also, the moon has much less gravity. You can build different kinds of spaceships there that don't have to escape the gravity well of Earth's gravity. They only have to escape the gravity well of the moon's gravity. And then maybe you can put stuff in orbit around the moon where you can build a spaceship out in space that doesn't really have to deal with that much gravity to begin with. And then you can start going out to Mars, manned missions to Mars. You can start going out to Saturn. They got a whole moon of methane over there.
Well,
Europa has more water on it than all of planet Earth. That's just a moon around Jupiter, more water than all of planet Earth. You know, there's resources out there that we can be bringing back here.
Well, Tex, let me play devil's advocate, though, okay? I mean, that may be very well be the case. There's H3 up there. There's ore to mine, you know, water. There's all sorts of good stuff that can come from it, but we don't know that for a fact, you know? And it's sort of like, you know, people that are just walking around on their property digging holes hoping that they're going to strike some Texas tea. Do we really want to spend
that all the time
in
my industry?
Do we really want to spend the public money from the public treasury running around on some kind of Star Trek mission hoping it'll pay off? Does that make sense?
Well, the thing is, here's your problem. You already have an agency with a budget that's basically sitting around doing kind of nothing, you know, all day. Now, not that they're exactly doing nothing. They're just focused on the unmanned missions to space, because there's a lot of stuff you can do with an unmanned mission that you can't do with a manned mission. Now, I understand that. But the flagship of NASA has got to be the manned mission, because that's what inspires people, right? Now, there is this whole privatization of space where you get private companies doing this stuff, and I completely support that. But there is a government role because, you know, as I know, I used to work in a government agency. There are things that are so expensive or that the payback is so long, but the payback is so high that the private sector can't do it on its own. For instance, fusion, right? So we're building the ITER reactor over there in Cadarache, France, which is a scale-up of the Joint European Torus, or JET, which is in the UK, right? But if ITER works, then Japan's going to do a thing called DEMO or DEMO. They call it DEMO, I don't know, whatever. Which is a commercial scale version of it in Japan, because Japan has an energy issue, right? But we've been working on fusion for, you know, well over 50 years, and the private sector can't do that type of research. So in space, there are going to be tasks like that that have long payback periods but very high payoffs, and the government is going to have to do that stuff. There is a role for the private sector. And to the extent you can get the private sector doing things, you may be able to do the government stuff even faster. But there's always going to be a role for government in that.
Okay. Well, I'm buying that. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, you know, I was trying to bring up a common libertarian argument, which is a discussion we need to have because, you know, and I'm trying to help everybody understand this. Libertarians and conservatives are on the same page. That we don't want statism. Now, we disagree about some of the finer points, and this is one of them. A libertarian would tell you that this is a 100% free market issue and that the government has no role. I, however, tend to look at it a little differently, and we should have this debate, but we need to have an open convention if we're going to have this debate, because otherwise it's pointless, because Mitt Romney and Barack Obama don't even fit in this paradigm. But
yeah.
I'm a little concerned about two things. One, the militarization of space, and two, you know, just stuff just flying, you know, willy-nilly in outer space with, you know, potential dangerous payloads. I mean, you brought up Skylab earlier. Now, I remember, this happened when I was, you know, relatively young. I wasn't exactly a child, but I was young. And I remember thinking to myself, hey, it's pretty scary. This freaking Skylab is going to come falling out of the sky. What if it lands on me or my house? You know, it was a little disturbing. But there's a valid point. We already
have
a lot of
in Australia. It's like, oh, those poor kangaroos.
Yeah, you know, my goodness, the koala bears are done.
Yeah,
you know, so, but it's a genuine concern. We got a lot of space junk up there right now, and so, you know, I think that there needs to be some kind of space traffic control, so to speak. Okay, and I think that that's a very valid point and something that the government has a role.
Are you saying you think there need to be space cops?
I'm not going to go that far yet. You know, I have visions of stormtroopers in my mind, and that, you know, freaks me out a little bit. But
where's
Robert?
Space traffic control. Look at you with your TPS cover sheets. You're already putting TPS cover sheets on space. Screw you.
Where's Robert Jenner when we need
space? Your vision of space sucks.
Now, here's the other thing that I'm thinking. Okay, there's the militarization of space. Well, I hate to break this to everybody, especially the...
Wherever mankind goes, it's kind of militarized. You know why? Because you've got to protect yourself against God only knows what.
Well, that's what I was going to say. The cat's out of the bag. We know how to get in outer space. It's going to get militarized. The real question you have to ask yourself is, do you want China, who already has plans of getting to the moon by 2013, and Russia and India militarizing space? And don't forget, India, China, and Russia all have nukes, okay? Or do you want us to be up there as a counterbalance as well? You know, I mean, in a military conflict, you always want the high ground because that's how the easiest way to secure victory. Well, what's higher than orbit? I mean, you know, that's a pretty strategic point. So I think there's a role
you want to get up there and get that moon base first, right? Because you got that moon base, you can set that thing up, and you're like, all right, we got this thing, you know? And then when those other dudes, they land, we say, hey, man, the moon is a harsh mistress, right? So you owe us some leasing rights on this land here.
Yeah, well, we don't we have right of claim? I mean, isn't territory that is not claimed by man yet go to the one who first gets there and plants
the
flag?
Well, there's actually a treaty on that. There's a treaty on that, but, you know, whatever. We can renegotiate.
Who's the treaty with? The Soviet Union that doesn't exist anymore?
Yeah, exactly. Well, no, there's an interim agreement with the Soviet Union that says that for purposes of all the agreements of the Soviet Union, they're actually with the Russian government. That's the interim agreement. But
I don't
think so.
I don't speak Russian. I didn't catch anything you just said. No, but seriously, folks, I mean, this is an important discussion. It's a real discussion to have. But here's the thing. The reason we're having this discussion is because this was an argument that was used to paint Newt Gingrich as zany, right? And now what have we got? Everybody's curiously interested in Curiosity that just landed on Mars. So I find it to be, again, a mismanagement of information and managing your mind to convince you that this is a non-issue. But it is an issue. And this is a discussion, and this is an area where I believe that Dr. Paul and Dr. Gingrich disagree, and I'm not sure which one I agree with more. And I would like to hear where they stand and find a position that works moving forward. But that's never going to happen if by acclamation we say, Mitt Romney's the guy. And that's what's happening now. If you turn on the television or you pick up the paper, you're going to start hearing that message. It's all Obama, Romney, Romney, Obama. They painted the picture. They're trying to feed it to you, but it's not true. And we've got 2 weeks to let these delegates know that it's not true.
Mitt Romney's vision of space is for nerds. Nerd. That's his whole vision. The guy's an idiot.
You think?
How does this help me have better parties at the White House and or golf more? I don't know. Stop with the space stuff.
Well, I mean, you know, let's be clear about a few things. So I think Mitt Romney has a certain affinity for space because as far as he's concerned, that's where we came from.
Oh, well, yeah, actually that's true.
So, you know, I don't know how he views it, but I don't know if Mitt Romney thinks that we have to go back into space to fly the planet Kolob or
anything. Well, you know,
that
would be a good question to ask at the convention.
Yeah, it's a fair question. I mean, look, you know, all kidding aside, you know, and we've talked about this before. In this country, you have a right to believe whatever you want to believe. It is a constitutionally guaranteed right, and no one has a right to coerce you. That doesn't mean that that people don't have a right to tell you the truth either. But no one has a right to coerce you, and you have a right to believe what you want. But when you tell me that you want me to empower you to the highest office in the land, I kind of want to know how you think and how you form your judgment.
By the Lords of Kobol. Anyway.
Yeah, I think if you think in those terms, was that from Thundar the Barbarian?
No. That was the original Battlestar Galactica. You know, old Lauren Green, he was always saying by the Lords of Kobol, right? That's what they're looking for.
Yeah.
Not the new one. The new one actually was pretty good, but like when Starbucks goes into the Nebula thing, that season sucked. Once that happens, just get to the last season.
Hey, look, I like the new one too. For anybody who's not listening, we're talking about Battlestar Galactica. I like the new Battlestar Galactica, but come on, man. Starbuck, Dirk Benedict, I mean, you can't go wrong with that guy. That's Starbuck.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, he
although
played
they did
well.
Have that one episode where they were playing, like, space basketball. Remember that one?
Yeah, it's
been a while. But, yeah, they played space basketball, and they had those short shorts on. Whoa, what was going on in that episode? My eyes, my freaking
triad.
Eyes. I couldn't watch
it. I think it was, Triad. That was the game.
Yeah,
anyway,
it was
but,
Triad.
You know what?
That's what it was, yeah.
You know what? Robert Jetter is missing the one show where we're speaking the topic that he loves the most, and he's not here. I hope you catch us in archive, Robert, and we'll pop on your show and have this discussion. But in all seriousness, you know, the kind of worldview you have, which is usually formed by your religious beliefs, it's kind of a point of concern for me when the guy is going up there. Now, again, I'm not begrudging anybody, and I'm not saying that Mormons aren't good and moral people. I'm just simply saying that this guy hasn't talked about it, and I have a right to know what he thinks, because we got a guy in there right now who I'm not sure what his worldview is, but if we remember, he spent a lot of time in Jeremiah Wright's church talking about socialist liberationist theology, which if that's the way you view the gospel, you're right, but if I'm going to give you the keys of power, I'm a little concerned, because that will lead to redistribution of wealth, suppression of the free market, an unfair tax system, and essentially a communist utopia couched in Christian rhetoric. Well, I'm not comfortable with that. So, you know, that's why I got a problem with the guy who's there right now. And I think we have a right to know what, you know, Willard Mitt Romney thinks of these things. And here's the reason why. I think the most important reason, Tex, is not whether, you know, you're concerned about magic underwear and call-out. That's your right if you want to. But don't you have a right to know what is going on with his tax returns, with his faith, with his SEC filings, with his dressage, or anything else, before you make him the guy and unleash 99% of the media on him as our candidate? I think
they're
it's
playing
important
with kid gloves. And let me tell you something the Obama campaign did this week, is they threw Romney a bone with this whole Mitt Romney causes cancer thing. People are like, hey, that's unfair. Come on. Mitt Romney doesn't cause cancer. 9 out of 10 studies have shown Mitt Romney may or may not cause cancer. Anyway, but, you know, so they're trying to get everybody to rally around Mitt. Hey, we got to defend Mitt. You know, all you Republicans fall in line. Like, oh, you can't say that about my Mitt. You know, I don't care. Yes, it's a stupid charge, but it's a bone thrown to Romney to try to rally the Republican base around him to get him over the top at the convention, and so I don't care about it. So,
well, Tex,
you know,
let me tell you something.
Mitt Romney may not cause actual cancer, but he certainly causes cancer within the Republican Party, and that's what I'm concerned about, and that's why he's got to go.
Yeah, I agree with you. He is a cancer in the Republican Party. But here, you bring up an interesting thing. It's a bone they threw to him to make him look a little tough. Well, the first question is, why is Obama helping Mitt Romney out?
Oh, yeah, because he wants to run against him because the dude can't win.
Right, that's one. So it's the best strategy to victory for Obama is make sure Romney's the guy. But number two, isn't he running as like, you know, uber capitalist Superman executive investor? I mean, isn't that kind of, you know, Mitt Romney was in the private sector. He built up great businesses. And so, you know, because of Staples and Sports Authority, you got to make this guy president. Well, if I'm not mistaken, and I know some CEOs, you probably know CEOs who make a lot more money than the ones I know, but nevertheless, CEOs are known for their organizational skills. They are known for the way they motivate and inspire people, and they are known for putting the right person in the right job so that it doesn't get all digged up. Well,
yeah.
All I see with Mitt Romney's campaign staff is that they're completely digged up, and not a single one of them knows how to campaign. I mean, Furstrom with the Etch-a-Sketch thing back then, he's done it again now, and then this week, Andrea Saul with the whole, you know, fighting this, which I agree with you. I think that the Obama campaign, this was a crappy charge to throw against Mitt Romney, just a stupid charge, but their defense against it was, well, if that person had been in Massachusetts, they wouldn't have died because of Romney there. I mean, what? They're like, well, you got even the and then all the liberals are like, look, the conservatives are eating their own. They've turned on Andrea Saul and Mitt Romney. I'm like, well, they're not our own. They're the enemy. So we just want them out of our house. And then number two,
if
you hire people that are that incompetent and you let them screw things up so that they can't win a campaign, what the hell are you going to do about appointing judges or cabinet positions? I don't trust your judgment. You're clearly not the guy you're cracked up to be.
Yeah, I got into it with one of these Facebook idiots today, right? Me and some other lady, I think it was Holly, I can't remember. But anyway, this guy was like, well, you know, Mitt Romney was a successful businessman. I'm like, yes, Mitt Romney was a successful businessman. He sucks at politics. The people around him suck at politics. Go back to business, Mitt. You're good at it. You suck at politics. He does. He just does. You suck at this. And I don't care how many people you've paid, and then how many consultants are writing your speeches, and how much you're focus grouping crap. The problem is you suck at this. And no focus group is going to say, oh, you don't suck if you say these words. Well, you know, words are only like 10% of a conversation. The rest of it is body language, you know, and all this kind of stuff, voice inflection, you know. It doesn't matter what your words are. We're getting 90% of our message. Maybe it's 80%. Who cares? Whatever. From the rest of your communication. And what we're getting is you don't believe anything you're saying and you don't know what the hell you're doing. Because I've said this multiple times, but I keep going back to it. Because you think about Romney at those debates. So just think about Romney at those debates. How high up on that forehead were those eyebrows, right? I mean, were those things going to go up over the back of his head? Now, while you're sitting around your house, you raise your eyebrows up like that real high, okay? How do you feel? You feel a little startled, don't you? A little startled, right? He's not ready. He's just not ready.
Well, I think this is a serious point because, you know, we talk about qualifications. I think he's unqualified. We talk about perception. The perception is he stinks, okay? We talk about electability. He's unelectable. We talk about likability. He's not likable, okay? So, you know, that's a lot of strikes for the candidate that you want, because remember something.
But go with him. Go with him so we can win. He's also lost. He also has only ever won one election in his day, but this time he's going to do it again. Come on.
Yeah. Go with the one-trick pony. He'll do it again. You know, but, I mean, look, the fact is that there's two things here. Number one, we need the guy who's going to be able to lead us out of the mess that the Republicans and Barack Obama have dropped us into. Okay, that's number one. That's a seriously important thing. But in order to have somebody who can do that, you not only need somebody who's capable of doing that, you need somebody that can get to the rodeo, man. Mitt Romney can't get to the rodeo. He can't get there.
Get him to the rodeo, and then you need someone who can actually ride that bull.
He can't do it.
No, Gingrich won't ride the bull. He'll stick a fork in it and start having a barbecue.
Yeah, I mean, look, the simple fact, let's understand something, right? These campaigns are run on media perception, which is why Romney's people focus test everything and say these three words and mean it like you're Toby Keith. And he goes out there, he goes, the trees are all the right height, and I like that baby, and I like whatever food you white humans eat out here. I mean, come on, man, what's wrong with this guy? He's completely doesn't know how to connect with people.
That tree height thing, you're missing the beauty of that, because that tree height thing, that's how it finds its way home. It looks at the height of the trees, and, you know, as they get progressively more and more the right height, it knows it's closer to home. That's in case the Romney by 5,000 gets lost. He can find its way.
Like when it got lost on its trip to Israel and Great Britain and Poland, where it met the Ron Paul supporters. Anyway, we've only got 5 minutes of show left. So
he looked up, he's like, what's with these trees? What's going on with these trees? Where am I?
They're in the wrong height. The fact is that it's a media perception, okay? And the media is not only left-leaning. I would argue that at least half of them are out and out communists, okay? So they're not going to be favorable to the Republican guy no matter how liberal he is, okay? So they're going to bring the full onslaught of all the media. When I say media, I'm not only talking about the cable news channels and the network news channels. We're talking about theater. We're talking about comedy on late night TV. We're talking about Saturday Night Live. Does anybody remember what they did to Sarah Palin? I still have people to this day who are liberals tell me, she said that she could see Russia from her house. No, she didn't. That was Tina Fey on Saturday Night Live spoofing Sarah Palin, but they think it really happened. How easy is it to spoof Mitt Romney? This is part of the perception, people. So it's the entire media, okay? One of the number one plays on Broadway right now is a musical mocking Mormons. Now, I'm not saying that I agree with that, but it's there, and people are laughing at it. And that's a serious problem.
Yeah, and that's going to be rich, you know, pay dirt if he's the nominee. They're going to dig into that stuff, and you know what they do with the Saturday Night Lives and all that kind of stuff. And that's not to say they won't parody anyone. But, you know, there is such thing as a fertile ground and barren ground, you know, and that's fertile ground.
So the only place that our guy, assuming that we're going to be Republicans and that you're Republicans listening, the only way our guy is going to get his message out is when he speaks directly to a large swath of American people. And that is only going to happen at the debates because they're live. Now, ask yourself this. You got a community organizer that screwed up the country for 3 years. Do you really want to put a CEO who has a different set of skills than a POTUS needs, who can't debate Obama, when that's your only shot for getting the message out? I mean, let's face it. What did everybody say in just about every single debate? Who won? Gingrich. Gingrich. It was Newt. Speaker Newt. Gingrich. Everybody was agreeing it was Newt. He can do it. So, you know, then the retort we would get is, well, if I was electing a debater-in-chief, I'd go with Newt. But we're electing a chief executive, so I'm going to go with the CEO. What?
Like Newt's never done anything. Oh, yeah, but see, he was over at Bain Capital, so he knows what he was doing. Newt Gingrich was just Speaker of the House and balanced the budget and took on Bill Clinton, who, by the way, is a political genius. You know, the only other political genius that matches Bill Clinton is Newt Gingrich. And he bent Bill Clinton to his will. Yeah, but, you know, he's just the debater-in-chief. Screw those guys and screw your lies. You are so full of crap. You know, and Elliot Abrams, I mean, come on, that was really thick, dude. That was a bad one. That's probably one of the worst things I've seen in this election, you know, so anyway.
Yeah, I mean, they trotted out all the crypt keepers of the Republican Party that we haven't seen in a decade. They're like, well, Newt Gingrich was a bad guy back then. What, I'm going to believe you because you say it now, even though the public record is very clear? You know, all the stuff that people credit Bill Clinton with doing, yes, I will credit Bill Clinton with being pragmatic and being reasonable and intelligent and signing those bills. But all of those bills were revenue bills. And according to the U.S. Constitution, revenue bills must originate in the House.
Yep.
So it was Gingrich that got that done.
So that's what I wanted to, you know, well,
go ahead. No, you go.
No, it's going
to Morton. Morton. Say something controversial. You only got 2 minutes.
All right. Well, that's what I was going to say about this the Supreme Court decision about Obamacare is basically they upheld, you know, the Commerce Clause and was like, all this stuff is BS, right? So it stands as a tax. And the thing about a tax can't be litigated until it's been paid, and no one has paid the Obama tax. So the case that was before the Supreme Court involved the Commerce Clause, not taxing authority. So they said it would be legal if it's a tax, okay? So when somebody pays that tax, they're going to bring a lawsuit back to the Supreme Court, and guess what? The Supreme Court's going to strike it down as a tax. So that's
very likely
there, but nobody
very
believes
likely.
Me, and you got the Mark Levins and all the
okay,
other people.
Okay, we got to say goodnight to everybody. So I just want to say thanks for listening. Tell your delegates to vote Gingrich or at least have an open convention. This is Tex and Rex signing off.
Resolution of Tampa.
See you tomorrow night, same time.